Hebrews chapter 3. All right, when you found your place, if you'll stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to read the first six verses. I'm going to have you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says this: "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." I'll draw your attention back up to verse number 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And then Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read the first three verses. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And once again, we find in the beginning of verse 3 this phrase, "For consider him." And I'm going to preach a message entitled this morning this, "Consider Him." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time here this morning as we open your word. God, please speak to us. Lord, we need you, God. We need you to talk to us today. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. May our hearts be opened. Lord, I pray if there's a lost person here that they would accept you before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians, Lord, to have our minds and our hearts, Lord, touched by the word of God, to help us to be different. Lord, I don't want to leave here the same way I came, Lord. And God, I want you to help me to be better for you. So please speak to our hearts, we pray. Bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Consider him. If you look at that word consider, it simply means to estimate. It means to contemplate. It means to observe fully. It means to discover or to perceive. Consider him. I want to stand here this morning and sound my voice like a trumpet and convince you to consider Christ. I want everyone here this morning, from the elementary age school young person all the way to the oldest senior saint, by the time this message is over, to be able to consider Christ. After all, why would we not want to consider him? You know, folks, the truth of the matter is, we as human beings sometimes get ourselves in a mess. We'll consider everything under the sun, yet often fail to look to the one who has control of it all. We'll consider this plan. We'll consider that advice from all kinds of supposed people and all kinds of supposed professionals, even if it doesn't make sense. How many times has a doctor told you that something was wrong with you and it didn't sound right, but because the doctor said, you said, well, the doctor must be right because he's a doctor. But oftentimes we fail with our hearts and fail with our lives to consider him. I'm going to make a couple observation points here. Number one is this: to consider something is to allow it to influence your decision. To consider something is to allow it to influence your decision. All parents know exactly what I'm talking about here. Your kids ask you to go somewhere or to buy you something. What's the most pat answer we almost always give? I'll think about it. That's what we say. I'll think about it. Unless it's just a direct, outright no, most of the time we say, I'll think about it. Or maybe these two famous words, we'll see. All right? How many times your kids say, Dad, what's we'll see mean? All right? I don't really know. It's just something we say as parents. Or if you're really trying to be a good husbandman and you just don't want to take responsibility for telling them no, you'll say this, I'll talk to your mother about it, all right? And that's a pretty good one there, okay? So that way, if you decide to tell them no, you can kind of blame mom a little bit, all right? But to consider something is to allow it to influence your decision. When it comes to making the decisions that we need to make in life, by the way, we all make many multitude of decisions every day. When it comes to those decisions, we need to consider Christ. How will what I'm about to say, or how will what I'm about to do, or how will the decision I'm going to make, how will it affect Jesus Christ and His cause, and how will it affect Him personally? You know, I'm afraid human beings have this pie in the sky view of God. We think He's up in heaven so far away to notice anything that goes down here on earth. Or we think maybe He's so busy running the universe that He has no time to worry about how we live our lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. He does know, He does see, He does hear, and it's time that before we make the decisions to run our own life that we consider Him. We should consider Him. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 16 verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Isaiah 59:1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." God sees, God hears, God knows, and because of that, we should consider Him. Because considering something is allowing it to influence your decision. Number two observation is this: lost people should consider Christ for salvation. Lost people should consider Christ for salvation. Unlike the political correct answer that all religions are the same and that all roads will lead you to heaven, the truth of the matter, according to the Bible, it says in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you're trying to figure out what's out there after you die, why would you not want to consider Jesus Christ? Just look at who He is and who He claimed to be. Either Jesus is exactly who He said He was, or He was the biggest fraud to ever live. Consider Him. But let me say this. No other person has ever had a miraculous virgin birth like Jesus had. No other person has ever lived a perfect sinless life like Jesus did. No other person ever walked this earth turning water into wine, opening blinded eyes, causing deaf ears to hear, healing all manner of disease and sickness, and even raising people from the dead like Jesus did. No other person has ever died a death and had the earth turned to darkness as God the Father poured out His wrath upon Him like Jesus did. For dead sure, no other person has ever been laid in the tomb and 3 days later by their own power had life flow back through their veins as they shook off death like an old garment and rose from the grave like Jesus did. No other person ever ascended to heaven and promised to come back to this earth for His own after He'd finished constructing mansions like Jesus did. No other person has ever been seated at the right hand of God the Father, mediating the cause of His children like Jesus Christ is doing now. So why, as a lost person, would you not consider Jesus Christ? If you're unsure about where you're going when you die, if you're unsure of what awaits you after death claims your body, why not consider Jesus Christ? After all, He not only did all of those things that we just talked about, but His word says this in John 3:17 and 18, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Jesus said this in John 14:6. Jesus saith to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." If you're lost here this morning, you don't know for sure that when you die you're going to heaven, let me urge you this morning to consider Jesus Christ. Consider Him. Consider Jesus Christ. So lost people should consider Christ for salvation. Observation number three, Christians should consider Christ by taking up their cross and following Him. Christians should consider Christ by taking up their cross and following Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, these are going to be some strong words here, but listen to what He said. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Those are some pretty strong words. But may I say this, Jesus Christ wasn't a feminine, long-haired, timid kind of guy that you see in all the paintings painted by the homosexuals. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus said it like it was. He didn't try to sneak up on people and try to trick them into following him. He clearly said it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus was very clear to be a true follower of him, meant there was a cost to be paid. A cost to be paid. You know, folks, it's no different now than it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ walked this earth. There's still a cost to be paid to considering Jesus Christ. You know, just because you may not be threatened with prison or death, by the way, not yet anyway, you know what? It won't be long when the men are separated from the boys. It's already beginning to happen, folks. Look around this world. You know what? If you're just playing church, you're just playing Christianity, you're not here because you really love God, you're here for this reason or that reason, it won't be long. It won't be long. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's coming. And the true followers of Jesus Christ are going to have to stand up, take a stand, and pay a price. You know what? Christians who really love God and those that aren't just playing the game are going to begin to separate. You know what? It's coming. But even now, even though we may not necessarily be threatened by persecution, even though we may not be threatened by going to prison or life being threatened, may I say this? There's still a cost to taking up his cross and following him. You may say to yourself, "Why in the world would I want to do that then?" I mean, if it's going to cost me, if it's going to cost me some things, why would I want to choose a path that I knew was going to cost me something? Well, in just a moment, I'm going to answer that question for you. So, Christian, may I say this? Consider Christ. Consider Christ by denying yourself. Consider Christ by taking up your cross. Consider Christ by following him and doing what he wants you to do. Lost person, if you're not here, you also should consider Christ for your eternal destiny. Now, I'm going to give you three things this morning, give you the reasons why you should consider him. This will be the message. Three simple reasons why you should consider Christ. Number one, you should consider him because he considered you. You should consider him because he considered you. Romans chapter 5, let me read some verses to you here. Verses 6 through 8. But for when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You should consider him because he considered you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he become poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I love that verse. Yet ye through his poverty might be rich. You understand what Jesus Christ laid aside to come to this earth and live the life he lived? Now, he didn't lay aside his him being God. He didn't lay aside who he was, but he did lay aside for a short time his heavenly position. Think about it. The creator of the universe, the creator allowing himself to be put in the womb of a woman. You think about that. Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ allowed himself to come to this earth and to be born of flesh, to be born of that special birth he had. He came here. He lived here. The Bible says he didn't have his own place to lay his head. And he did all that because he loved us. He did all that because he considered us. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 53 with me, if you will, please. Isaiah chapter 53. I want you to see these verses. I want your eyeballs to read them. I want your minds to think about what we're about to read. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 7. And as we read through here, I want you to notice the different pronouns that talk about our and us. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says this, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." By the way, this is talking about Jesus Christ. "As a root out of dry ground, He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Why should you consider Christ? Because when he was praying in that garden alone in such agony that he sweat drops, great drops of blood, he considered you. Why should you consider Christ? Because as he was arrested and betrayed by one of his very own and then led away like a common prisoner, he considered you. Why should you consider Christ? Because he considered you when he was mocked, spit upon, and was having his face plummeted by those Roman soldiers. He considered you as he was publicly stripped naked, buffeted, and a crown of thorns driven into his skull. He considered you when he was having the Roman cat of nine tails ripping across his flesh, literally skinning him alive. He considered you as he was led up the hill to Calvary bearing his own cross. He considered you as he was willingly allowed nails to be driven into his hands and feet, suspended between heaven and earth as every joint came out of place. Why should you consider him? Because he considered you as he for the first time became sin, your sin, my sin. As his father poured out his wrath upon him and then turned his back on his only begotten son. Why should you consider Christ? Because as he willingly gave up his life, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why should you consider Christ? Because he considered you. He considered you. And what again is our excuse, folks? What is our excuse? Why is it we can't seem to figure out how to please him by the way we think, talk, or act? Why is it as Christians, we, those of us who have been saved for 10, 15, 20 years, still act worse than new converts would act? Why is it we can't seem to say no to sin and temptation? Why is it that we just allow the devil to have his way with us every time he dangles some stupid sin in front of our flesh? Why do we fall for every stupid thing the devil does to us? It's because we forget that Jesus Christ considered us. He considered us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Isaiah 53:6, the verse we just read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're the ones that went astray, not him. Yet he considered us enough to come and seek us out. Let me ask you a question. What did the devil ever do for you? Is the devil the one that did that for you? I mean, is the devil the one that came to this earth to save you? Is the devil the one that gave up his life and died on a cross for your sin? Is the devil the one that has promised you a home in heaven? Then why in the world do we consider the things that please the devil over the things that please Christ? We should consider him. We should consider him because he considered us. Number two, let me give you another reason this morning why you should consider him. You should consider him because he cares for you. You should consider him because he cares for you. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 103. I don't think it was that long ago that Pastor preached out of this passage here. Psalm 103. Remember, he cares for you. You know what? It would have been one thing if Jesus would have just came and died and gave us a home in heaven. You know what? Thank God for that. Saved us from having to go to hell. But you know what? It didn't stop there. God cares for us, folks. As his children, he cares for us. Let's read this. Psalm 103. Let's start reading through here. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his tongue forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Thank God for that. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Listen, don't ever say that you're upset because you're not getting something you deserve. Listen to me, folks. If we got what we deserved, you really want what you deserve? I don't. Because of my sin, I deserve to burn in hell. I was the one that should have had to die for my sin. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Notice the tender care here of these verses, speaking to the Lord to us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourished. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You should consider him because he cares for you. He cares for you by bestowing upon you benefits. You know, the benefits of God are better than any benefit you'll ever get from working for any company. He bestows upon you benefits. He cares for you by forgiving your iniquity. As the song goes, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Now I'll live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. They're gone. He cares for you by forgiving your iniquity. He cares for you by taking care of you physically. You say, well, wait a minute. I have this health problem. I have that health problem. Folks, listen to me. God takes care of us physically. You understand the miracle of the fact of just how your body works? It's a miracle. It's a miracle that our heart beats. It's a miracle that our lungs breathe air. I've been helping my kids on their projects this week, and I've been reading all over all the students' projects, and it's amazing. You don't even have to go very deep into it to see the miraculousness of the human body, the miraculousness of just life itself. And where'd that come from? That come from God. God takes care of us physically. The Bible says he'll heal all of our disease. You say, wait a minute, I got this disease, I got that disease. Listen to me. One of these days, everybody's going to get healed. Amen? Hey, look. Yeah, I know. This old physical body, it's dying. This old physical body's got problems. This old physical body's going to give you some issues now and then. But listen to me. This ain't the one you got to live in forever. Amen? Hey, God's made us a brand new one, and it's not going to get sick. It's not going to get old. You're not going to have to wear glasses. You're not going to have to wear earrings. You're not going to have to walk with the walker or walk with the cane. God's going to heal you. Amen? And God cares for us by taking care of us physically. He takes care of you by, I love this, buying you back from sin and the devil. That's what that word redeem means. It means he bought us back. You understand we once belonged to the devil because of our sin? Folks, when you're born, you belong to Satan. You belong to him. He owns you because of your sin. But Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back and now offers us to us a new life in him. Wow, he cares for you by buying you back from sin and the devil. He cares for you by encircling you with his tender mercies and loving kindness. Encircling you with his tender mercies and loving kindness. God is not only our creator and savior, but a wonderful father that loves and cares for his children. Did you get that verse we read? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God has pity on us. God remembers. God knows. What? Look, listen. God would have every right to all the crazy things we do against him. He had every right just to shoot lightning out of heaven and zap us. He'd have every right to do that. We deserve that. How many's ever done something stupid? Don't raise your hand, but all of us, our hands would all be up. We've all done something stupid. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. All of us deserve for God to bring down His heavy hand of judgment upon us. But aren't you glad He's merciful? Aren't you glad that He encircles us with His tender mercies and loving kindness? He remembers that we're but dust. By the way, that's exactly what we are. That's what our bodies are. They're dust. But He remembers that, and because of that, He cares for us. He cares for you by satisfying you with good things. That word satisfy means to have enough or be made full. God has blessed us with so many good things, it would be impossible to name them all. I mean, folks, think about it. Okay, you say, well, not me. My life's a mess. God hasn't given me one good thing. Listen to me. Is your heart still beating? Are your lungs still breathing air? Then God has blessed you with good things. Let me tell you what our problem is. Our problem is we just want to focus on the handful of bad things that come into our lives instead of thanking Him for all the good things. That if we were to be very honest, are quite numerous. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Then it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Folks, listen. We live in America. We live in still the greatest nation on earth. You didn't get to choose where you were born at. How come you weren't born in Afghanistan or Iraq or Pakistan or someplace like that? You could have been. You didn't get to choose that. God chose that for you. You're here. You're living in the greatest nation on earth. Now you're in church this morning. God has blessed us immensely. And we ought to be thankful for that. So you ought to consider Him because He cares for you. He considered you. He cares for you. And last of all, number three, why should I consider Christ? You should consider Him because He's coming for you. You should consider Him because He's coming for you. Folks, look around. Our world is on a collision course. The explosion could happen at any moment. Above the hustle and bustle of busy life, above the grinding wheels and machinery of war, it seems that there's almost a forgotten realization among the Church of Jesus Christ that He is coming. You know, this doctrine is a very prominent doctrine in the Bible. The Old Testament prophets testified that it would come. The New Testament apostles preached that it would come. And Jesus Christ Himself promised that He would come again. John 14 tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," here we go, you ready? "I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Three words kindled a fire of hope in the hearts and minds of the Filipinos during World War II. The words of the great General MacArthur, "I shall return." May I say this? What words give the Christian today the blessed hope according to Titus 2:13? The words that Jesus Christ found or said that we find in written right back there on our wall about His blessed hope, "I will come again." He's coming for you. Why should you consider Him? Because He's coming for you. Out of every 30 Bible verses, one out of every 30 Bible verses speaks about His coming. In the New Testament, it's mentioned 318 times. The Bible teaches that we will see Jesus again, that there is a life after this one. The devil wants you to forget about that. The devil wants to wants you to live in your life ignoring that fact. But Jesus said this in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Folks, eternity's coming. Eternity's coming. The Bible teaches us that the coming of Christ will be in two phases. Number one, in the rapture for His own. Number two, then after the 7-year tribulation, He'll be coming with His own. He'll be coming for His own, and then He'll be coming with His own. You should consider Him, number one, because this is a very real event. This is a very real event. Folks, listen, I'm not preaching fairy tales this morning. I'm not telling you some cute story. I'm telling you something the Bible clearly teaches, and this is a real event. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Notice again His tender mercy, His tender care. He's long-suffering. He wants people to come to the knowledge of the truth, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's merciful. Have you ever wondered to yourself, why is He waiting? How come He hasn't come yet? Everybody always thought He's going to come. What's He waiting on? He's waiting because He's long-suffering. Yeah. He's waiting because he's merciful. Aren't you glad he didn't come before you got saved? I'm glad. Okay, but, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. Will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You should consider him because this is a real event. And number two, you should consider him because it will happen very fast and most people will not expect it. It will happen very fast and most people will not expect it. 1 Thessalonians tells us this, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You should consider him because it's going to happen very fast and most people will not expect it. Folks, you won't have time to get ready. Jesus said that if you had known what hour the thief would have come, you'd have been ready expecting him. But he says the thief cometh when no man expects him. And Jesus is going to come very fast and most people will not expect it. Number three, you should consider him because it could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment. Jesus tells us this, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Folks, listen, this ought to affect the way we live our lives every day. This ought to affect us. Listen, this ought to help us decide the things we're going to do, the things we're not going to do. What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? What are you going to be doing? Young people, you're going to be in a fight with your parents when Jesus comes? How about it? You're going to be watching things on TV you shouldn't be watching when Jesus comes? You're going to be listening to certain things that you shouldn't be listening to when Jesus comes? What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? It could happen at any moment. You should consider him because it could happen at any moment. Number four, you should consider him because when it happens, we'll either be taken or left behind. Matthew 24 tells us, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. The saved will be taken to meet Christ in the air to go to heaven. I love this verse. Them which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort. It's a help to us as Christians. But then we find the lost will enter into the worst time that has ever been on this planet, the tribulation period. Jesus said it like this, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The Bible calls it a time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. You should consider him because when it happens, you'll either be taken or left behind. You should consider him because you will not have another chance to be saved if you've already heard the gospel. How many times have I heard people talk? I've talked to them all the time. I'll just wait and see. And then if the Bible's true, then I'll get things taken care of. I'm sorry, but not according to the Bible. You won't. The Bible tells us that. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Talking about the Antichrist here, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, that's why we have to be busy doing what we're supposed to do. We've got to be busy, because if people have heard the gospel and Christ comes, they're not going to get another chance to be saved. The Bible clearly says that they'll believe a lie and they won't have an opportunity to believe. So you should consider him because you won't have another chance. Number six, you should consider him because the signs of his coming are all around you. You should consider him because the signs of his coming are all around you. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 24, verse 3, and he that sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Good question, isn't it? How are we going to know, Jesus? What's it going to be? What's going to be the sign? And Jesus begins to give some signs. Number one, he gives the sign of false religion. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Did you hear what he said? Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Understand this. Okay? I know there's a lot of sincere people in the world. But let me tell you something. Being sincere in something you believe does not make it right. You must sincerely believe the truth. Folks, false religion is everywhere. It abounds everywhere. Everybody seems to have their own opinion about how to get to heaven except for the only true way. And it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus said it's a sign that will be revealed before his coming, the sign of false religion. Not only that, we find the sign of wars and rumors of war. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Have you watched the news this week, folks? I could spend hours talking about different things going on, but let me just read you five headlines from this week. From this week, within the last 7 days, North Korea threatens war, make their Chinese neighbors nervous. North Korea approves nuclear attacks on the U.S. Merciless strike ratified according to the rhetoric. U.S. could make preemptive strike on North Korea. North Korea moved missiles to their east coast. Hey, that's just this week, one nation, one war. We could literally be hours talking about wars and rumors of war. What is happening? The sign's there. Jesus said, I'm coming. Consider me because I'm coming. We ought to consider him not only because of the sign of the false religion, rumors of war, earthquakes, here's another sign, a sign of earthquakes. And there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. That word divers means many. Literally every day around this planet, there are hundreds of earthquakes. Literally. Okay? Let me just read a couple of headlines from the last 3 days. Not 3 weeks, not 1 week, 3 days. 6.2 magnitude earthquake shakes Russia, far east, close to China, North Korea. Earthquake rattles nerves in local area near Prescott County, Missouri. 7.1 magnitude earthquake hits off Indonesia. A moderate earthquake jolted Pakistan-Afghanistan border and parts of the Indian-administrated Kashmir on Thursday. Magnitude 5.4 earthquake shakes buildings in Mexico City. 5.7 earthquake hits Myanmar. Look, folks, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Literally, scientists, geologists cannot figure out what's going on. Not to mention the fact of other things that are happening. The sun is erupting. All these comets and asteroids. What is happening to our planet? Let me tell you what's happening. Jesus Christ is about to come. That's what's happening. You should consider him because he's coming. Am I trying to scare you this morning? No. What I'm saying is this. You should consider him. You should consider. That's what I'm saying. You should consider him. All right? And then last of all, we'll be done. Why is the last reason I should consider Christ? You should consider him because now is the time to do what needs to be done. Now is the time. Jesus said it like this. We read this verse in Sunday school. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If you're lost here this morning, now is the time to be saved. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to, for Christians, for us to make sure other people are saved. Now is the time. Not too long ago, we left here on a Sunday morning, and it was about a month ago. And I went home, and my wife wasn't at home. That's disturbing when you think your wife's going to be there, and she's not. But she came home a little bit later, and come to find out, the Lord had been laying on her heart about trying to see her uncle. And she went directly after church and talked to her uncle, and he's not saved, and he accepted the track, accepted the witness. We're still praying that he will be saved. But listen to me, that's what we're supposed to do. Who do you know that's not saved, that
God's been laying on your heart. There's a reason God's laying them on your heart. Maybe they don't have much time left. Did you hear that missionary letter we read last Sunday night about Brother Ed Johnson and his wife? They got home. They went and saw her uncle. He got saved. 2 days later, he died. 2 days. I wonder who's going to die this week and go to hell because we didn't obey the Holy Spirit and go see him. We didn't make a phone call. We didn't leave a track. Hey, folks, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching, we're all together on this. Okay? Ain't nobody's done perfect in this thing. Ain't nobody can't do more. Listen to me. Now's the time to make sure other people are saved. Now's the time to make sure you're right with God. Now's the time. Look, Christian, if you got stuff in your life that's not right, you can't afford to wait. Do you want to face Jesus Christ one day at the judgment seat with those things on your conscience, with that unconfessed sin in your heart? Now's the time to get right with God. Now, Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. He which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. He's coming quickly. So you should consider him. You should consider him because now's the time for things to be done. Consider him today if you're lost. You're sitting here this morning and you don't know for sure that when you die you're going to go to heaven, then you need to get that taken care of today. Okay, by the way, you know what? Every single person in this room was at one time lost. All of us were. None of us are born saved. We were all lost. And there came that point in time where we made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen to me. Heaven is real. And so is a place called hell. God loves you. He paid the price to keep you out of hell. Why would you not accept that? Why would you not consider Jesus Christ and what he did for you? If you're here this morning, you don't know for sure you're saved. In just a moment, we're going to bow our head and close our eyes. We're going to give you an opportunity there'll be someone at the front here. You could come get someone's attention. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. The Bible says that you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow or not. This could be your last day on earth. And if it was, then you need to make sure that you know for sure you're saved. So now's the time to consider him today if you're lost. Consider him today if you're saved. How about it, Christian? We need to consider Christ more in our lives, don't we? Sure we do. All of us can do better, folks. Come on now. We all can do better. We all need to do more. We all need to consider Christ in these areas. You know what? None of us have arrived yet. We're not there. We're not in heaven. We haven't got that glorified body yet. There's still areas we all need to improve on. There's still work that needs to be done. There's still souls that need to be brought in. There's still kids that need to be picked up. There's still doors that need to be knocked on. Let's consider him today, even as we're saved. So consider him. Consider him because he considered you. Consider him because he cares for you. And consider him because he's coming for you. Let's pray. Everyone bow your head and close your eyes. Please, no one looking around at this time. I talked to lost people and to saved people this morning. And if you're here today and you don't know much about this Christian life and you don't know much about maybe the Lord or you don't know much about what the Bible has to say about going to heaven, that's okay. You're in a good place, may I say. You're in a good place. You come to the right place this morning. But if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. You say, you know what? I've often thought maybe my good works outweigh my bad works, and then maybe one of these days God will let me in. Well, folks, that's not the way to go to heaven. You say, well, I one time as a kid was baptized. Well, baptism won't take you to heaven. You say, well, my name's on a church membership roll somewhere. Well, folks, having your name on a church membership roll is not near as important as it is having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to make sure you're saved. If you're here this morning, no one's looking around. But you do not know for sure that you're saved. You don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. If you're here, would you just simply raise your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anyone like that here in this room this morning where you don't know for sure you're saved? You don't know for sure you're going to heaven? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just would like to pray for you. Anyone here like that today? All right, I see those hands. Thank you. All right, you're in a good place. How about it, Christian? How about you? Are you considering Christ in your life the way you should? Are you considering him in your daily activities? Are you considering him by allowing it to affect the way you live? You should. You ought to. You ought to consider Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation. And Lord, you saw these hands, Lord. Thank you for the honesty, Lord, of these folks here. And God, I pray that you give them the courage, Lord, to be able to step out and come forward and allow someone to talk to them about being saved. And Lord,
thank you for the mercy you bestow upon us, Lord, and I pray you'd help us, Lord. Please help the Christians here this morning. God, help us as Christians to allow you to work on our heart. Help us to consider you, Lord, in the different areas of our life. I pray you'd bless this invitation this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.